Well, the Olympics are just around the corner, aren't they? And so I decided I would call my little talk today The Great Race. Robert D. Costello says in an advertisement for vitamins, and I don't know which vitamins, I'm sure they're very good for you, he says, "Life is the toughest marathon of all." And I'm sure you all agree. I'm sure some of us are feeling pretty tired on this marathon, this great race. Pat Farmer, another Australian marathon runner, says he keeps going. How? Because his body follows his mind and his mind focuses on the goal and he gets there. Do you know what? So many people go through life and it feels like a marathon, but they haven't got any goal. What a shame to run so hard and not be going anywhere. That would be sad. They don't know what the race is all about. God meant us to live our lives as a great race towards a heavenly goal. That's what he meant us to do. Not just heading from nowhere to nowhere for no reason. Now, with the Olympics just around the corner, I couldn't help but think of the great race we are all running. But some of us aren't even in the running. Some may be running for gold. Some may be running for prestige. Some may be running because they've always been running, but they don't quite know what it's all about. They're not in the running because they're not running towards the goal that God always had in mind, and therefore their marathon is meaningless. How sad. TV ads for the Olympics say this: if you don't make it to the games, you'll miss out on the experience of a lifetime. Well, what I'm saying is, don't miss out on the lifetime race or you'll miss out on life, eternal life. Paul, in his letters, and also the writer of the Hebrews, who may have been Paul, they loved to take up this theme of the Christian being in a race. Greeks and Romans loved contests. It was a tremendous honour to represent your country in their games. The athletes were not in their own. They had the good wishes of all the compatriots, but they ran alone. The Christians don't run alone in our race, and we know that we're running home. So we're going to look at this great race today. We'll see the race, the runner, the run, the righteous runner, the righteous run, and the reward. First of all, the race. And it is a great race. When I say the great race, I can't help but smile about a film. It was an old film many years ago. In those days where the goodies always wore white and the baddies wore black, and you knew who was who. Well, do you remember this old film? It was called The Great Race. It's been rerun on TV many times. All these vintage cars, all heading for Paris, I think. And in the race, there were many ups and downs, many goes and slows. But Tony Curtis, all dressed in white, I think he won, but he actually didn't go across the line. I can't remember. He not only won the fame, he won the female. Natalie Wood. And it was quite a nice old film with these beautiful cars, The Great Race. But let's read from the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul says here, he is in a race. When did he start that race? Well, he didn't start the race when he was physically born, but when he was born again, he started this spiritual race, this race that God meant us all to run. The day he put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when he started this race, heading for heaven, the heavenly goal. Now, at the end of his life, He could say he had kept the faith. He had been faithful to the Lord. He'd kept on course. He'd stayed focused on the course that God had mapped out for him. And now he looked forward to the heavenly dais where he would receive his crown. He wouldn't be alone. All those who love the Lord and have looked forward to this time, they would be with him. They would be in heaven receiving the prize. Now, why did Paul write these words? He wrote them to encourage Timothy and to encourage you and me. When sometimes the race just seems too hard, when perhaps we've fallen down and we find it hard to get up and just keep on keeping on, he's telling us it's worth the strain, it's worth the struggle. Face the race. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can face all things through Christ who strengthens us. And he'll welcome us at the end. The pain will be worth all the gain. And we know we're going to make it. We know. We're a Christian on this race. We know we're going to get the prize, heaven. We know we're going to make it. Isn't it awful about with dreams? I don't know about your dreams, but my dreams always leave me hanging in the air. I never know whether I made it or not. I'm either rushing to get somewhere and I'm still in my pyjamas, or and I never know whether I get there dressed and in my right mind. And that's what dreams are like, aren't they? One dream recently, I had to keep an appointment. I was in my son's car, his red car, which he hasn't had for a year or so. And at this intersection, big traffic jam, suddenly in my dream, my feet went through the floor of the car. Well, did I make it? I don't know. Because it was only a dream. But this great race to heaven is not a dream. It's for real. And we know we're going to make it. And we're going to get there. We are children of God on our way home to be with him. And we're going to make it. Let's look at the runner, you and me. Well, I hope it's you. I know it's me. The only people who could participate in the Greek Games were citizens. They were the only ones. And the only people participating in the race to heaven are citizens. Citizens of heaven. People who are children of God. People who have been born into the family of God. Now, you're not by being good or looking good or doing the right things, but being born into God's family and therefore a citizen of heaven. We put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and boom, that moment we become a child of God, a citizen of heaven, and we're on our race. Now, as God's children, though, we have a responsibility, and that's to run the race to please him, doing what he wants us to do and being what he wants us to be. Not to get us there, but because we already belong there. Those who run well, they'll earn God's "well done, good and faithful servant." Let me ask you a question. Are you a Christian? Are you racing today to the heavenly goal? For many of us, it's a stumble. It's one foot forward and sometimes many steps back. But do you know for sure you are heading for that heavenly goal? Are you a Christian? How do you become a Christian? Admit you are far from God. Admit you are a sinner. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you so that your sins could be forgiven. And then accept the Lord Jesus as your own Saviour. Thank him for dying for you. And once you become a child of God, once you become a Christian in that moment, you are family. You are family of God and no one can take that away from you. You are heading towards the heavenly goal. God accepts us as worthy because the Lord Jesus Christ died and paid the punishment for our unworthiness. the prize that we're heading for, heaven. And it's already ours. But because we love him, we run our best so that we can please him. And we want to bring praise to his name too as we run. Now the Christian athletes, we've heard all about these athletes, haven't we? They pour all their energy into running the race well. They've been working on this for years. They've had this goal in mind for years. And in the Christian's endeavour to run the race well, we have great aim too. We focus on the goal and we train. We put all our energy into running this race. What's our race? To get to know him better. To be more like the Lord Jesus. Love him, obey him, serve him. That's our race. Paul knew that he wasn't perfect. He'd never reached perfection. He was never exactly like the Lord Jesus. But he had made it his goal to run that race well and press forward towards that mark, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus as we love him and serve him. You know, sometimes Christians can become a little bit self-satisfied in their spiritual progress, and they think, well, I'm running well, but how about so-and-so? Well, there's a good remedy for that, because other people aren't the example we are to follow. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so we look to him. He calls us to follow him. It costs to be an athlete. Costs money. Also, you've got a diet and a lot of other things. And it costs to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul points it out in his letters. In the letters to the Corinthians, he says that just as an athlete denies himself certain things, so the Christian on her race denies herself some things. The things that might hinder her, even if they might be good, if they're going to hinder her in her race, she denies herself. Hebrews 12 and 1 tells us to get rid of those things in our life which would get in the way of our goal. Don't let's make anything else our goal in life but getting towards that heavenly goal. As well as denial for the athletes, there's discipline. Whoa, they've got to get up so early and train. The hours of training, and they're training with their coach, and so it takes a lot of discipline. And part of the Christian's race will take discipline. Training with the coach. Those hours, maybe before everyone else is up, that we spend in our quiet time reading our Bible and praying. Those times that we spend studying his word. Those times that we spend with fellow Christians encouraging one another. Early hours, disciplined hours, as we learn more about the Lord, get to know him better, become more like him. Always training. And for that time when we'll be reigning with him in heaven. I love the old Firthies, water cart motto. And this was written on the side of a farm water cart in 1895. Telstra took this motto, but this is what the motto is. Good, better, best. Never let it rest till your good is better and your better best. The athlete is training to run his best. He may not be first to the line, he just wants to do his best. And the Christian in her race towards that heavenly goal doesn't have to be, doesn't matter even if she's last, as long as she's done her best. The wonderful truth for the Christian is that although the athlete, he trains with the coach, but when his race comes, he has to run it alone. The coach is left behind. I think Yelena Dokic left her father behind too a bit, her coach. But the coach would like to run, I'm sure, but they can't. The athlete has to run alone. For the Christian, she does not run it alone. Not only has she had training with her coach, but he runs with her. The Lord has said he will never leave us, never forsake us. He's with us. He gives us the strength to keep going, and he keeps us focused. He teaches us the way, and he shows us the way, and he's with us all the way. You know what happens when we become a Christian? The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts. He is Christ in us. He opens our understanding to spiritual things. He teaches and guides us and enables us for the race. Someone said, faith links our nothingness to God's almightiness. You on your race today, how grateful are you for that truth? I'm grateful that my nothingness is linked to God's almightiness, that my weakness, I can turn to him and find his strength for this race, which seems so hard, so long, such a struggle. And so we press on. We press on as though it all depended on us, but all the time we're depending on him, because we know we can't race it alone. Grace is God's adequacy for every situation. God is there with you in your situation today with all you need to get you through, to stand up under it. Philippians 3:13 and 14 tells us to keep pressing on, to look forward to what God is for us today and what he has for us tomorrow, what he has for us after tomorrow when we're there with him. Do you know what? An athlete running that race keeps their eyes focused on the goal. Can you imagine? Well, I tell you what, some athletes don't. They look to see how Jesse's running on their shoulder, and if they're not careful, if they look backwards, they will lose that race. A farmer, when he's ploughing, keeps his... when he's ploughing, keeps his eye right on the fence line to keep his line straight. Doesn't look back. Christians who keep looking back, failures, regrets, will get bogged down and they'll soon be off course. What is past is forgiven. God, when God forgives us, he doesn't hold it against us anymore. The slate is clean. And so we keep our eyes fixed on the goal and we reach for it with all our might. We take hold of all the Lord has for us, all the Lord is for us, and we keep running. We keep running to be all he wants us to be and do what he wants us to do. It won't be easy, but it'll be for a crown which lasts forever. Those gold medallions, those gold medals, pretty special, but you can't take them with you. We're racing towards a crown which will last forever. Not just a transient, temporal trophy. Now let's look at the run. The Lord, Paul could say, he had completed the task, the course that God had mapped out for him. His task was preaching the gospel, and he was tireless in doing that. He'd been faithful. Do you know what? God has a course marked out for you. You might look back to young days and you think, oh yes, I did that and this and that and that. Yesterday I was helping a friend of mine. I do it as part of neighbourhood aid. She's 90. She said to me yesterday, when I was young I did this, when I was young I did that. That was part of our course when we were young. When we were middle, we did this and we did that. Maybe a little extra time, children off our hands. Now nearing the end of the course, we are still on course. It's still a course that is mapped out for us. Maybe at this time of life we are learning and have time to learn, time to experience more than we ever could before. It's harder now. Our own strength is so much weaker. But what a great opportunity to lean on him and his strength. You are still on the course. What you did when you were young was great, but you are to be faithful now. Now? the encouraging word for one another. This mile, whatever it might be, you are still on the course. Trust him for your part of the course today. You will need him now more than you ever needed him before. It's harder. You're nearing the end of your course. It's a course for us to complete, and it requires all our faithfulness. Trust in him. That's what faithfulness is. Trust in him. We may not have a big task, but faithfulness in little things is a big thing. Faithfulness in all those little things today is a big thing. God never gives us a goal which we can't accomplish in his strength. What he calls us to do, he enables us to do. What he calls us to face, he enables us to face. Because do you know what? The trials, troubles, yes, even tragedies, are part of the course that he's marked out for us. And he has a great goal in this course, just as Doreen read. These trials and these afflictions, our faith is becoming stronger and will shine as pure gold in God's eyes, being tested and tried. Our light, momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You see, these times of trouble, it's like a muscle. When a muscle's exercised, it strengthens and grows. And so for us, in times of trial, our faith is strengthened and grows the closer we lean on him. Charles Swindoll said, God's heavenly plans don't always make earthly sense. But remember this, God never makes a mistake. He knows what he's doing. God designs what we go through, but we decide how we're going to go through it. We can go in peace or in pieces. We can go with God's peace, P-E-A-C-E, or we can fall in a heap in pieces. Peace, adjusting to the will of God, conscious of his presence and his adequate power, certain of his future mercies, that goal, heaven, and grateful for all his past mercies, all those times he kept us on our race. We may be knocked down, but we certainly won't be knocked out. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And I love this quote. Faith is knowing there'll be something to stand on, or you'll be taught how to fly. So faith is knowing that God is with you. He has the way through. He is there with you, standing with you, helping you, strengthening you. When I went to Malaysia this year to visit my family, I was only going to go for 2 weeks, and then they said, oh, Nanny, stay another week. So I did. I rang Sydney to see if it was all right with Laurie, and then I rang Scripture, someone to do Scripture for me and someone to do the Bible studies, and so I stayed. Andrew had told Rhiannon that he was going to KL to pick up Nanny. So Rhiannon, nearly 4, said to me when I got there, Nanny, where did Daddy put you down? And I thought, my goodness, what's this all about? And then I realised she thought that when they said Daddy was going to pick me up, it was pick Nanny up. Do you know what? When you're a Christian, God has picked you up in his everlasting arms, and he never, ever, ever lets you down. Never put you down. You are in his arms right to that heavenly goal and after, with him forever. Oh, now, the righteous runner. Okay, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous runner, on the righteous run. And this is Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So let us consider the Lord Jesus, focus on him, think of him and his race, and it will help us as we run our race. These written words were written to Jewish Christians who were going through a terrible time, Christians who felt like giving up, and the writer wanted to encourage them with the example, first of all, of the heroes of faith, which we find in Hebrews 11. They're all mentioned there, all these great people. They all believed in God and kept on believing. Some were delivered from terrible things, some weren't, but they all finished their race believing, looking to the heavenly goal. They looked there and to God and they endured patiently. I don't know if they're watching you and me. They may be witnessing our race today. But do you know what they do witness to us? God will see you through. Trust in him. Have faith in him. God will see you through. God can carry you through anything and everything. Then we are told to look to Jesus with our eyes fixed on him and to remember his perfect example. God had a course mapped for him. It meant suffering, pain. It meant the cross. And he went through that course looking to the end. The end, when he finished his course, back in heaven with his Father sitting on his right hand. But bigger than that, you and me there with him in heaven. That's what he looked for. He looked beyond the pain to the gain. The Lord Jesus is a perfect example of a life of faith, and he finished his race triumphantly. Look to him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. For the weariest day, may Christ be your stay. For the darkest night, may Christ be your light. For the weakest hour, may Christ be your power. For each moment's fall, may Christ be your all. Look to him. Now, last little bit, the reward. 2 Timothy 4:8 told us that a crown of righteousness awaits us. This is God's reward for faithful, righteous life. And there it is. We'll all win the prize. Those of us who are Christians, those who are family of God, we'll all win the prize. That's heaven. But some, when they get there, will win honour awards. And that's the well done, good and faithful servant. You know, God's medal winners are made in secret. That time when that nobody sees, the struggle to get out of bed, all those little struggles that are very personal. I think of the paraplegic, the pain that they might suffer. Nobody knows it. God knows it. God knows the struggle. God knows the little cry for help. God knows the trust that says, Lord, I give it to you. I'm glad I can. Help me. This is where the medal winners are made. And he sees and he knows. This is for those, the medal winners are those who hang on when they feel like letting go. They hang on and they know that he has tight hold on them. He never lets them go. And they look forward to heaven and all it holds, life with God forever. And so there's the prize, heaven, all it holds, life with God forever. Well done, good and faithful servant, the honour award. Not only a crown, but also there's more. Our mortal weak bodies will be changed and made like the Lord's resurrected body on that resurrection morning. And there's more. We'll be heirs and reign with him forever. Christians in Chad, as in Africa, said of our daughter who died there, She was homesick for God, a little girl who ran the race, even at her age, with the goal in mind. Someone watching us on this great race today, I hang my self, my head in shame. Could they look at us and say, she's homesick for God. She's running towards that heavenly goal. And God is helping her every step of the way. Well, let us run the race with our eyes fixed on the Lord. Let's run in His strength and for His glory. And let us be ready to meet Him, whether we die and go to be with Him or whether He comes and gathers us up. This is what a man called Adam... his surname was Judson. This is what he said. When Christ calls me home, I shall go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from school, home at last. And when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing His praise than when we first began. Are you on this great race? If you're not, speak to one of us. And if you are, and I pray that you are, keep your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus. Trust Him every step of the way. You will make it. Heaven's the goal. You'll get there. Thank you.